You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach is off, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show, Civic Media's news director, Shali Pittman, is going to join us after the 9:30 news to give a little breakdown of the weekend news. Some of that we're going to start off with, but Shali will help us dig a little deeper into SNAP benefits. They're on, they're off, they're on, they're off. The Senate deal that we're going to talk about in just a second. In hour number two, if you are on Medicare or you are signing up for Medicare, Ingrid Kundinger is going to join us. She is the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol Program Director. There is a big difference between Medicare and Medicare Advantage. And if you were like a friend of mine who is 87 and got 22 phone calls the other day, 22, for people trying to sell him different Medicare Advantage plans, you're going to want to stick around for Ingrid explaining what the differences are. Medicare, Medicare Advantage, they're not the same thing. So we're going to break that down. In hour number two, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the You Can Check Out, But You Can Never Leave edition, so stay tuned for that. Joining us right off at the top, since Greg is out today, he is a political consultant and a friend of the show. Joseph Heckey is here. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jane, and congratulations. I have not seen you since you announced your retirement.
Yes.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
How many days left? Are you counting them down?
I am not counting them down. I think it's about 5 weeks. December 12th will be my last show. But it's been an incredible run. I've learned so much, and I couldn't be happier with having Civic Media be the home that I'm going to wrap things up at. I really couldn't think of a better ending to 44 years.
We could not be more excited for you and your next chapter, and just wanted to start by saying congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. We hope to have you on in the last 2 weeks, in my
of
last
course,
2 weeks,
happy
so we can
to.
Just kick some things around. I wanted to start off with you, since you are a political consultant, and this, what we were in the longest government shutdown in history.
Still are. It's not over yet.
But now it looks like we're on the cliff of an agreement. From your perspective, Joe, where are we on this government shutdown?
Yeah, it looks like this thing is going to be wrapped up this week. Late last night, there was a breakthrough, and 8 Democrats, there had been like between 4 and 6 in the Senate who had been voting to try to get things moving. Last night, they finally got to 8, so there were 60 votes. And today, the wreckage from that announcement is on full display.
Yep.
It feels like kind of whiplash, where last week there was an election. We sometimes say, I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan who said, we govern in prose, but we campaign in poetry. Poetry time was done last week.
Yeah.
It was a huge night for Democrats.
Yes.
And now it's prose time. Now it's sausage making time. And so the outlines of this deal, as I understand it, are that the government will be fully funded through January of next year. So about 2.5 months. USDA, Veterans Affairs, the Food and Drug Administration, and Congress will be funded until the end of next year. So that will include SNAP will be operational throughout 2026. We will undo all of the reductions in force that Russ Vogt, the architect of Project 2025.
Yep.
And so all of the civil servants who the Trump administration laid off in the last 40 days will get their back pay and will come back to work. So things like air traffic will once again get unstuck in time for people to head home for the holidays or to take that Christmas vacation. All of those are good things. The $64,000 question is, what the heck just happened on the healthcare tax credits? And that is why people are big mad this morning. It sounds like John Thune, who is the Republican leader of the Senate, has guaranteed Democrats not just a vote, but control of the floor. And that's a little, it's not, what the heck is that? It's a right. little esoteric. What that means is Democrats will decide what the legislative package to advance the Affordable Care Act tax credits looks like. That is actually a big deal that Democrats get to say, here is the legislation. So that's a good thing if John Thune keeps his word on the vote and on the ability for Democrats to control the floor. Here's the problem, and here's why I think people are very upset this morning. Mike Johnson and the House weren't part of this deal.
At all.
And Mike Johnson already this morning is saying, we didn't make any deal. I'm not guaranteeing a vote on extending these subsidies. And so that's, I think, where the conflict comes in and where a lot of people online are saying Democrats caved. I don't think I'd go that far. I think given the harm to the 40 million Americans who are on SNAP, it's about 1 in 8, given what we're seeing in terms of air traffic and the risks going through the roof of people who want to go see grandma and grandpa for Thanksgiving,
yeah.
This was the best deal that Democrats in the Senate were going to get after 40 days where they said, you know, 30 of them, where they said, if we don't extend these subsidies, if we don't make healthcare costs more affordable for families, no deal. Then Democrats finally said, okay, you know what? We'll just extend them for 1 year. Let's just push this past the midterms. And Republicans from Donald Trump on down still said, no way, over our dead body, not going to happen. And so at that point, you know, and I don't always love this analogy, but a lot of times people talk about like hostage taking.
Mm-hmm.
But if we use that metaphor, Republicans have made clear they're prepared to shoot the hostages.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
Healthcare costs are going to go up 300%.
They don't care that kids are going hungry.
Right. And so, you know, it's a what I would call a mixed bag, but I'm sure you've been following this. I'm curious what your gut reaction is to this deal that 8 Democrats voted for last
time. I kind of feel that the same thing about John Thune has promised. Oh, okay. Great. On the one hand, I understand to some extent why Democrats agreed to this. However, it just seems we are back to the old kicking the can down the road. This only funds things until the end of January. We're going to be back here at the end of January. And I guess the one good thing I see coming out of this, Joe, is that Republicans will have to go on the record on not wanting to do anything about healthcare. But that isn't going to help people whose premiums are going up by 85, 95, 100%.
Yeah, the play by Democrats here is this shutdown started before people were getting their renewal notices, before open enrollment for next year
right.
started to happen. And so it wasn't totally clear yet, you know, to a lot of consumers in the marketplace, just how much those costs were going to go up. And so the other sort of not wild about metaphor, but I can't think of a better one. It's like the pin has been pulled on the grenade because now people are seeing how much their costs are going up
yep.
and are trying to figure out how they're going to afford it. And now Democrats have tossed the grenade with the pin pulled over to Republicans. And I want to be really clear. I'm only talking about in a metaphorical sense. There is no place for political violence, full stop. But this is going to come to a head. And the time is now to have everybody line up and say, this is what I'm for. This is what I'm against. There is one other part of this, and I'm not sure how much time we have until the break.
Go ahead. We got time.
But there is another special election for Congress on December 7th.
Yes.
And what that election will do is change the math in the House for how many signatures you need on a discharge petition to force a file on the Epstein votes. I'm not convinced that Senate Democrats didn't do us all a favor by forcing the action, by putting the ball in play so that the House of Representatives has to come back and they have to swear in the new Congresswoman from Arizona who has been denied her seat for more than 40 days after winning her election. She is the 218th signature.
Yep.
On the discharge petition to force the vote on the Epstein files. And so that is about to happen. And if you waited until after the December 7th election, if the Republicans win that, it's like a plus 20 Republican district, that would take the math back to one short again. And so I'm not, you know, there could be some three-dimensional chess here.
If you're just joining us, Joseph Hecky, political consultant, is our guest. Greg is off today, and we're talking about the pending deal, it seems, between among the Senate, actually, to reopen the government. But you make a very good point, Joe, about details. It's all in the details. And the one thing that's amazing me now, even this morning, is seeing Republicans go on about, we have pages of plans. We have pages and pages of ideas and concepts of plans for healthcare. They've had 15 years to look seriously at an overhaul. Nobody says the ACA is perfect. It's not perfect. Nope. But it's better than what we had before. And I go back to, we get collective amnesia about what things were like before the ACA, when people who had pre-existing conditions, like, I don't know, being a woman, couldn't get coverage.
Where if you had asthma or you got sick one time, your health insurance company could just go,
drop you.
Okay, you're not covered anymore.
Exactly.
It was blatant discrimination, and it made healthcare inaccessible for millions of Americans. So I'm with you. The Affordable Care Act is not perfect, but I also think Republicans kind of told on themselves. And I would not be surprised if some of the Democratic thinking among those eight senators was like, how do you seriously negotiate with a president of the United States who came up with the most cockamamie idea you've ever heard on health insurance over the weekend, where he was like, instead of extending the subsidies,
yes,
we're just going to give every American money that they can turn around and pay for healthcare. Isn't the point of, you know, government to like act as that middleman, make things just a little bit easier? And just as like, okay, how do you negotiate with that crazy person who has that crazy idea?
Well, and again, so if you send money directly to people, then they have to go to a health insurance company to get coverage.
Right. They tried to make the insurance companies the boogeymen, which in some respects they are.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But as opposed to saying, like, as opposed to the government tax credits, you know, going to the health insurance companies to hold down costs for consumers, we're going to give the money to the consumers, who are they going to turn around and give it to the big bad boogeymen at the insurance companies?
Well,
it just didn't make a lot of sense.
And then over the weekend, I was doing a little investigating into our elected officials and just who takes insurance money. Gosh, a lot of our elected officials take money from the insurance companies. That's why I was so surprised to hear all the, we hate them, they're evil, they're boogie, boogie, boogie. Except when it comes to them writing checks.
Yep.
Then it's a whole different thing. We're going to continue our conversation with Joseph Hecky, political consultant, when we return. Corruption Palooza, baby. Wow. Sign up for pardons. The booth is right over here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Sweet Galby coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg is off today. Civic political editor and friend of the show, Joe Izopecki, is here to just kick things around in the news. Joe, I call it Corruption Palooza because it just never seems to end. This from ABC News. Trump pardons Rudy Giuliani and other key figures allegedly involved in trying to overturn the 2020 election. Among these pardons include former WISC GOP Secretary Kelly Rue, former Dane County Judge Jim Troupas, and WEC Commissioner Bob Spindell. Also got Trump pardons for the fake elector scheme. The state case, however, remains ongoing. Are you surprised by this?
No, I wish I was, but Donald Trump is running a protection racket. And that
Absolutely.
means that he's got to take care of the people who took care of him. A couple of names you missed, Andrew Hitt, former Republican chair, Chesbro is on the list. All of these clowns who tried to steal the 2020 election had to wait 10 months longer than the guys and gals who beat up cops
Yeah.
on January 6th.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised, but I'm infuriated. I said this last week on a different program, but we have to sometimes try to see the positive amid this madness. And nothing has ever made the case for pardon reform in this country like Donald J. Trump. The founders screwed this one up, and it's okay to say that. It is the only power vested in the executive where there is no check, there is no balance, they can do whatever the hell they want. And it should boil the blood of every American that he can just wipe away the criminal liability for people who bloodied and battered law enforcement officers. And this, as part of the same conspiracy to steal the 2020 election, was, again, I don't know what took so long. The timing makes me wonder what is going on right now. But I'm just mad as can possibly be.
Well, and I think this just continues to feed into the narrative I saw on social media over the weekend, because the president was golfing over the weekend, in case anyone wonders where he was. He wasn't in Washington. He was in Florida at Mar-a-Lago. And apparently over the weekend, they had a video running in the background about how he actually won the 2020 election. This is going to continue now. And with these pardons, I think this is just going to make it worse, that he is going to continue that narrative. That he won, he won, he won, he won.
Yeah, he didn't because he's a loser.
Yes.
And he has also used the power of the clemency to do things. I mean, like Ghislaine Maxwell is next. There's just no question.
Absolutely.
He's moved her over to Club Fed.
Yep.
The writing is on the wall.
Yep.
They are trying to do everything they can to prevent the release of the Epstein files. And I think the job for all of us who understand, what's at stake here is to not take the bait and go all the way down the rabbit hole on these pardons, because the reality is Republicans are forcing Americans to pay more for healthcare next year. And, that is something that impacts millions of Americans. And this, I don't really love the like, oh, this is a distraction from that game, but he's clearly like Republicans know they're losing on this. And Donald Trump doesn't know how to talk about affordability. He doesn't know how to lower costs for Americans, despite the fact that that's what he was elected to do. And so he's just going to continue to feed his rage machine because it's the only thing they know how to do.
Well, and it works. It works. Anger and fear, they're very effective in getting people, that's why our when you go on social media and you watch certain things, the algorithm will continue to feed those things because it is effective. And I agree with you. I think we're just a couple of weeks away from Ghislaine Maxwell walking. And I think his supporters, his hardcore supporters, will be, well, he must know something that we don't.
Well, he this has already cost him the Epstein controversy, the inability to release the list, the way that he has treated Maxwell. He is seeing cracks in his coalition for the very first time. The names we know are all the podcast bros who are like, wait a minute, man, you said you were going to release this stuff. And whether it's that, whether it is people who voted for him who now can't sell their soybeans or find a way to move this year's crop, whether it is folks who are seeing their SNAP benefits expire or get complicated or their healthcare costs go up, or even people who wanted a crackdown on immigration but didn't want masked thugs holding American citizens without due process, depriving them of their liberty. There are people on the right who realize that like the jig is up. Donald Trump is not who they thought they were voting for, And that's part of why you saw such political success for Democrats last week. And I think there's a lot more of that coming in the year ahead.
Well, let's hope that Rudy Giuliani and Chesbrough and all those guys aren't looking at what they can do next to muck up next year's elections, because that's what we have to worry about next.
Joseph. Also, one other win today. The Supreme Court is not going to overturn legal marriage equality.
Yes, so, thank goodness.
Worth celebrating.
One win. Joseph Pecky is a political consultant and a friend of the show. Thank you so very much for your time. Really appreciate it, Joe. We'll see you
Great
in a couple.
Great to see you, Jane. Talk
Take
soon.
Care. When news is next, and then when we return, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Sweet Calvi, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg is off today. He will be back tomorrow. And the Packers are in action tonight, hosting the Eagles. Our broadcast will start at 5 p.m. You can listen to the game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and here in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN. So catch the Packers hosting the Eagles. Our broadcast will start tonight at 5 p.m. Speaking of the beautiful Park Falls, Wisconsin, that's where we find Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, joining us on the phone. Good morning, Sholly. How are things in Park Falls this morning?
Good morning, Jane. I saw that transition. I respect it. Things in Park Falls are a little snowy.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But probably for you, too.
Yeah, Racine got hit pretty well last night. I was not expecting that as I was driving in this morning. We're going to talk about that next hour at this time. Actually, we're going to talk about winter driving for Audio Sorbet and pet peeves about winter driving coming up an hour from now. But right now, we're going to do a little recap. So much to talk about, Sholly. SNAP is on, yep. SNAP is off, SNAP is on, SNAP is off. What is going on with the SNAP benefits as of 9:37 on Monday, November 10th?
I think what you just described is a, quote, continual state of whiplash,
yeah,
which is, according to a filing today, how Governor Evers and a collection of other states are describing what's happened over the last 3 or 4 days. I am attempting to make a timeline in my notes here, so I think I have it. But things are going to change as of, you know, later today, right?
Right.
Today, Governor Evers and others are in court, again, asking for a court's assistance to restrict the Trump administration from enforcing another letter. But let's start at the beginning. On Friday, there was a federal judge who ordered the Trump administration to fully fund benefits for this month, right?
Right.
That's kind of where some folks maybe checked out for the weekend. Food share is back on. Great.
The governor loaded people's SNAP cards on Friday, right? So that Saturday morning when they got up, their benefits were there.
Right. Wisconsin was one of a few states that released the full aid. And that's really important, Jane. They released the full benefits to folks. So the way this actually works is kind of through a vendor system. So the Department of Health Services in Wisconsin submitted the full benefits to our vendor, and those benefits were activated. Folks reported seeing their cards full,
right,
for November. So people have been buying food. What happened, though, is that the U.S. Treasury denied the transaction to authorize the payment of full benefits, right? Because there had been a previous ruling about funding, you know, half funding or funding 35% of funding benefits, but the U.S. Treasury denied the transaction to authorize the full benefits. DHS had submitted, you know, the full request.
Right.
Then on Friday night, the Trump administration submitted a request to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, which paused that day's order from a federal judge, saying that we'd like to put this on hold. Now, they didn't say that they were going to do that in their guidance from the USDA earlier that day, and that was pointed out in yet another legal filing. And on Saturday, I think it's Saturday, the Trump administration demanded that states, quote, undo, unquote, the work that they had done,
yeah,
saying that some states had released, it was unauthorized. They said it was unauthorized, that instead of releasing the full funds, they should have refunded the 35%
or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Reduction, which, by the way, doing that in the way that would actually work for the vendor would cause a good amount of delay as well, just because this works through a vendor system that then reimburses, you know, the folks giving out SNAP benefits, right? The folks, you know, selling the food.
Right.
So this just takes a while to sort out because it's new, because it's a huge program. Yeah. And then, you know, in that filing where the Trump administration demanded that states like Wisconsin undo their work, they said that if you don't, the USDA could cancel the federal share of state administrative costs. It would hold states liable for any, quote, overissuance that results from noncompliance, unquote. So that means, hey, you're responsible, basically, for this 35%. And where we are today, also according to probably a different filing, there are, quote, insufficient SNAP funds to reimburse retailers for the provision sold to SNAP recipients. So without immediate action, Wisconsin DHS will likely exceed its line of credit on Monday, November 10th. Now, it gave out some numbers that as of Friday, Wisconsin's balance was about $19.5 million. And people were using their
well,
cards.
Well, yes. It's not like we talked about that with Joseph Pecky before you joined us. By the way, if you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman is joining us on the phone, as she does every Monday, to do a little recap. And we're talking about the back and forth about SNAP benefits over the weekend. The one thing I do want to say is that, so the court said on Friday, yes, the government has to pay for SNAP. Governor Evers said, great. So he filled up everybody's cards. Court came back the next day after the Trump administration tried to stop it and said, now you have to claw it back. And Governor Evers essentially came back with a one-word response and said, no.
Right. Right. And that's making national headlines, right? I mean, I'm reading this New York Times article, Wisconsin is the case example. There's, as Dan Schaefer, our political editor, likes to say, there's always a Wisconsin connection.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. Now, there was a flurry of press releases from the governor's office, and that's where I think the quote actually came from. No, said Governor Evers, pursuant to and consistent with an active court order, Wisconsin legally loaded benefits to cards, ensuring nearly 700,000 Wisconsinites had access to basic food and groceries. That's according to press release number two. An earlier one had announced a coalition of states urging a court to reject the effort to, quote, yank benefits. And so, again, I think the watchword is confusion, or, again, I like the phrase, a continual state of whiplash.
well, and I don't understand how, so the government said you have to claw back this money. How is that supposed to work? Are people supposed to bring back the eggs that they scrambled and take them back to the store? It doesn't work like that.
Your guess is as good as mine. I am not an expert. I tried to look up a little more on, like, how food share funding actually works and gets funded, because it probably gets very, you know, administrative here very soon.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. We're kind of in unprecedented territory here. I think in a press release today, the Evers administration pointed out that in a span of less than a week, there have been multiple guidance documents from the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, which administrates the funding, right, along with the Treasury. And they say that each has been inconsistent with the prior one, right, which is what's caused that continual state of whiplash. So that's, yeah. Calvin, I hope you choose that as the title for today.
Just, we'll call it whiplash. It's just continual whiplash. Now, with the Senate on the cliff of, it looks like, a deal to open up the government, does this mean that SNAP, once this happens, because this is going to take several days, it's not like it's going to happen today, is that going to make all of this moot?
You know, I'm so bad at prognostication, right? I don't know. I think one thing that I don't want to say what could happen because I really don't know.
Sure,
Jane.
Sure.
I mean, I wish, again, your guess is as good as mine. The only thing I'm looking at is, you know, like you said, how would you claw this back? Clearly, folks are using
the benefits
money.
Are there. Yeah, they're spending it.
Probably pretty relieved. So it's hard to know exactly what would happen if that vendor payment, the money in the fund basically runs dry. But you know, we're going to find out more today because there's a court hearing, there's this legal filing, or they're requesting a court hearing. I would assume that probably happens today. I don't know what time it is. And yeah, that's where we are.
Well, and I just want to remind folks, if you are in a position to be able to help a local food pantry or something, I would really encourage you to donate. Even if you can only donate a couple jars of peanut butter, that would make a big difference. And if you're not on social media, you might not have seen over the weekend the lines outside of some food pantries around the country. This is affecting a lot of people, and these are probably people within your own neighborhoods that you don't realize are struggling. So again, if you can donate whatever you can donate, people a lot of times will think, Shelly, I've only got an extra $5. Well, you know what? If 100 people donate $5, that adds up to something. So every little bit counts. Every little bit counts. Yeah. And if you can donate cash, I know at least as far as groups like Second Harvest and Feeding America, they can make those dollars go further because they can buy in bulk. So if you're able to make a cash donation to a food pantry, that is fantastic. Again, if you can only donate a couple jars of peanut butter, I know that they would be grateful for that as well.
College students, right?
Yes. That was an article this morning.
Yeah, exactly. That students are, you know, struggling, right? And they have a quote from a student who says, hey, this distracts me in the classroom. I can't focus, right, if I'm hungry. And colleges survey their students about food insecurity. And I think it was half of UW-Milwaukee, those surveyed last year, experience food insecurity, right?
Yeah. So, it affects a lot of people it affects a lot of people that I think we just don't assume would be hurt by something like this. We're going to continue our discussion with Shelly Pittman, Civic Media News Director, and Data Centers on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Dr. Slide on the Board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg is off today. He will be back tomorrow. Coming up after the 10 o'clock news, if you are of a certain age and you have questions about the difference between Medicare and Medicare Advantage, and there are a lot of differences, Ingrid Kundinger is going to join us after the 10 o'clock news. She's the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol Program Director. And we're going to break down the differences between Medicare and Medicare Advantage. They are not the same thing. by any stretch of the imagination. So if you have questions or you have maybe someone in your life who is at that age where they're considering either Medicare or Medicare Advantage, I highly encourage you to stick around for that coming up after the 10 o'clock news. She joins us every Monday at this time to recap all news from the weekend. Civic Media's news director on the road in Park Falls, Shelly Pittman, is joining us. Shelly, we talked last week about data centers, and they continue to be in the news this week. Where are we on that?
Hey, Jane, there's just so much happening with data centers in a short amount of time. I last Friday attempted to wrap it all up into one, and I'm sure still missed a couple things. So, but you can kind of read this article on civicmedia.us. It's called Data Centers Become the Watchword. And, you know, I was trying to write one thing about data centers, and then something else happened, you know, on Thursday evening, and then something else happened. And so I just tried to put it all together. So starting last week, last Wednesday, there was an informational hearing at the Capitol that lawmakers held, or a committee held, on, quote, demystifying data centers and AI. And this flew under the radar, but it had representatives from all sorts, like dozens of groups, including Microsoft, Google, Vantage, and so on. And I thought it was pretty interesting to watch. I need to go back over it, but, you know, I think they made the point, they tried to, quote unquote, demystify and made the point that, you know, some of these facilities are state of the art, right? And that folks use data centers in their daily lives.
Right.
And can have profound effects on research, right? A spokesperson from Microsoft spoke about cancer research, right? Of course, a very, you know, who could be against cancer research? But, you know, they made the point that these are part of our economy now. And I thought that was interesting. So you can watch that.
Well, obviously, in something like that, it's going to be all the good things that data centers bring, right? And this is such a plus, and they're not going away. And so, yes, but there are still a lot of concerns people have, particularly when it comes to water usage and energy usage within their communities where these data centers want to be built. Do they address any of that stuff?
Yeah, they did. And environmental groups spoke as well, right? And I think a key takeaway here is that not all data centers are the same, right? Or that's at least what the spokesfolks wanted to emphasize, right? Which is, you hear this, you know, like there's an open water loop and then a closed water loop, right?
Right.
And so the closed water loop, right? The idea is that the water never leaves the dang building, and that, you know, it is not, quote, so much, right? But
fewer millions of gallons.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, right, that still doesn't take away the fact that, like, there are, if it does create jobs, it's a massive campus. And so just in the normal course of people working at a place, right, and using the restrooms and drinking water and all of that also can contribute. They spoke about energy usage. You know, many have pointed to creating their own grids and that consumers won't pay, saying that the consumers won't pay the cost of rising utility prices, which is a hard thing to prove empirically, right?
Yeah.
You can build a renewable energy grid, and yet, like, seems like prices are always going up for consumers. And so how do you track that is
right.
Something that I'm grappling with. But I wanted to point folks to that if they were interested. That's on Wisconsin Eye. And that happened last Wednesday, I believe it was the Committee on Science, Technology, and AI. Then on Thursday, though, Thursday is when there was a lot happening. So gubernatorial candidates at the first forum of the 2026 election cycle were asked about data centers. This is going to be, I think, a part of campaigns.
Sure.
You know, it made it in. It was hosted by, oh, I forget exactly who, a technology group, the Wisconsin Technology Council. And, you know, candidates, mostly Democrats, there was one Republican who showed up, Josh Shulman, you know, they offered answers that were kind of tried to be in the middle and highlight the pros and cons of, you know, economic opportunity versus regulation. So we can kind of get a sense of where the gubernatorial candidates can be headed for that. There's also, I'm just looking at the time, I'll speed up. There was a state lawmaker on Thursday who also announced a bill for a regulatory framework. After this informational hearing, Dane County leaders are announcing a resolution to create an advisory committee, and that's in response to a proposal to build one here in Dane County. There's stuff happening tonight at Janesville. Yeah, my notes, you can read it.
Shelly Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She joins us every Monday for a recap. Thank you much, Shelly. We will see you next Monday.
Thank you, Jane.
News coming up next. When we return, we'll talk about the differences between Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.